Welcome to MedRoom Chronicles, Nursing Uncensored. Join nurses and other care providers as they let you in on discussions usually reserved for the privacy of the locked medication room. In this weekly nursing podcast, the filters come off and we tell it like it is. Your hosts, nurses Adrienne Benning, Andrew Craig, and Brad McLaughlin, are here to educate and entertain on all things in the nursing world. This podcast is intended for nursing students, nurses, or anyone who wants a sneak peek into the real world of bedside nursing. So join us, laugh along the way, and maybe learn a little something too. Thanks for listening, guys. Hello, nurses. Here at MedRoom Chronicles, we may be uncensored, but we are not unfiltered. Protected health information has been changed and concealed to comply with HIPAA. The things we talk about are combinations of years of experience with thousands of patients, things we've read, or stories we've heard. If you think we're talking about you, we're not. Also, we're real nurses here to provide accurate and helpful information, but don't take us as fact without doing your own research. Refer to your state's Board of Nursing, practice acts, and your institution's policies and procedures if you have questions about your practice. Lastly, our very strong opinions are ours alone and do not reflect that of our employers or educational institutions. Thanks for listening, and happy nursing, folks. Welcome to another episode of MedRoom Chronicles. I am Adrienne, your host, and I am here again today with your other host, Andrew Craig.
Hi, Andrew. How are you?
I am fantastic. How are you doing, Adrienne?
I'm doing great. What's you up to?
You know, I've just been busy with work. I just got off a three-day stretch, 3/12s, and so it's you know how it is. It's the kind of the recovery period. Your brain is mushy by the fourth day, so you almost need like a 24 hours to decompress. And I'm just coming down from a cold, and Sarah
slows everything down.
Oh yeah, and. Unfortunately, Sarah has gotten my cold. Oh. She is full cold mode. She is feeling like crap. She's in the next room sleeping. And I just got some Cheesecake Factory. So hopefully, brighten her spirits. And so,
here's what ails you. That's right.
That's right. Orange chicken and extra cherry cheesecake. She loves it. So hopefully she feels better. Yeah. How about yourself? What are you up to?
I am currently on my third of 4 days off. I last month had just a hellacious schedule and was really burned out, and it was awful. And now, so far the last couple weeks, you know, I work a couple days, get a few off. So I'm kind of in a nursing. I'm kind of in nursing heaven right now, although the caveat is that this is a limited time only because I'll be starting school again at the end of next month. And so I also have, also as a side note, not to harp on it too much, but I am part of a nurse residency program, which lots of hospitals across the country are doing, which for those that don't know, nurse residency programs are usually designed for first-year nurses, brand new grads, because the rate of nurses quitting in their first year is so high. So these programs are meant to retain, support, educate, and help kind of like smooth that transition of that first year. And I am 1 month from graduation from that program. But what that means is that the project that I have had almost a full year to work on, I should probably, like, it's not that I didn't start it. My partner is another nurse on our unit, and we're doing a great topic, but we did a bunch of research, decided on our topic, and then let it lie. So,
oh, that's so typical, right? You get a year to do something, and you're like, oh, I'll get it done.
Usually I'm not that way. Like, last semester when I had to write a research paper, I was on top of that shit, man. I was really proud. I had my drafts. I did many, many drafts. and actually wrote a really fantastic paper. So that was the paper that, you know, I don't want to get too far into this discussion. We'll talk about it another time. But that was a paper that I had you and a bunch of other people edit for me because I was over the page limit. And so I made a fatal error of chopping that poor paper down to nothing.
Oh, yeah.
A beautiful masterpiece that I worked on for a whole semester was chopped into a B paper. So it burns a little bit when I think about it. But anyway, so that was that was all of the things that I'm doing nursing-wise. Otherwise, right now, as I sit, I am in bed under a really nice quilt in an air-conditioned room sipping on a vodka lemonade with some muddled blackberries in it. So,
that sounds pretty fancy.
I'm on my staycation until tomorrow morning when I go into nurse residency again, and then I'll work the night after that. So that's me right now.
That's awesome. You know, I'm so excited that you're finally finishing that. I didn't get a chance to do a nurse residency because I started in a nursing home right out of college, and I got 7 days, if you can believe this, 7 days of orientation. And then I was on my own from 7 p.m. to 7 a.m. on weekends. Like, there was no other nursing staff. So can you imagine, you know, being a new grad?
No.
And
this
was in Iowa. This was in Wellman, Iowa.
Tiny, tiny little town. I had a former nurse friend. Well, she's still my friend. She doesn't live here anymore. But she had a house in Wellman, and it was the most adorable little, like, farmhouse. And, she moved to the West Coast, and I love her, but I hate her for it. So,
right.
So Stacy, if you're listening, I'm glad you're doing well. She has a baby and a hubby and a whole bunch of good stuff, but
yeah,
I miss her.
Oh, well, it's the West Coast. You know, when we did an assignment in Oregon, it's beautiful. It is. It's like a dream. In fact, as I am talking to you right now, I'm watching some kind of scenic videos of the West Coast, and just it's got a draw to it. It's you know, being from the Midwest and seeing cornfields all your life and rolling hills.
Yeah,
and then
which
you
is
go,
beautiful, but it's different.
Yeah, you know, once you get a taste of the West Coast, you know, the Midwest is like, you know, you like feel like you're shortchanging yourself. And,
yeah.
Maybe we'll go back out there. I'm pretty sure. Well, I just told you in the last video that we're pretty sure we're going to either go to California or Hawaii, and because we got to get out of here. We just got to, you know, try some new things. So that's our plan.
That sounds great. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, but we have other things that we want to talk about, too, in the meantime. Like, we had some things we wanted to talk about today, didn't we?
We're wanting to talk to you a little bit about this whole concept of nurses eating their young. And I think Adrian and I both can attest to this still being a subtle yet prominent, I guess, practice in nursing. And we're not really sure necessarily why that is. I mean, I don't know. Maybe if you know. But it's still, I've read articles about this and did a little bit of research. And I think people seem to think that it doesn't exist anymore, but I disagree. I think it's well, it's alive, unfortunately.
Yeah,
you know, what
I
do
agree.
You think?
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, just to, I want to back it up for a second and clarify for maybe our nursing students, prospective nurses, or our brand new nurses, what exactly is eating the young? Okay, so it's kind of self-explanatory. It's basically when existing or experienced nurses, instead of welcoming new nurses with opening arms, a spirit of teamwork and education, they basically like eat you alive. They, they don't help. And it can manifest in a number of ways. And sometimes it's so subtle, you can't really put your finger on it.
Yes.
But, you know, maybe you've got that nurse on your unit that's more gruff with you. or doesn't answer your questions fully, or acts annoyed when you ask for help, or, I mean, it can be a hundred different things. It can be nurses gossiping. It can be nurses, you know, experienced nurses being like, well, that new nurse, did you see how she spiked that piggyback? Like, did you see how she set up that tubing? Well, frick's sake, help a girl or a guy out. Like, you know, like you're saying, whether you're a new nurse, whether you're in long-term care, a hospital, a clinic, sometimes your orientation is days to hours. Like, you're not, you know, you don't know where the light switches are. You don't know where they keep the Kleenex. You can't find the butt wipes. You don't know which doctor to page. Like, it can be a scary, scary place. And when the people that are surrounding you that are supposed to be your team members are basically, they feel hostile to you, even if you can't name the behavior, that's eating the young. And that drives a lot of nurses out of this profession entirely, wouldn't you say?
I can tell you that I've read forums, for instance, like on allnurses.com, which is, you know, like the biggest nursing forum on the internet.
All Nurses, not sponsored, but boy, I love them.
Right, exactly. And I have read articles of nurses that specifically leave because they can't take the current state of nursing. And it's not just about eating their young. It's about the stress level and the feeling of not being supported by the facility and the huge patient loads. But there is a facet of, you know, not being supported, which is kind of like eating their young. So they'll just leave nurses entirely. They'll devote 4 years of their life or 2 years of their life to the school, and they have all that time invested. And that just tells you how bad nursing can be if they're willing to just give that up. And I'm sure it's not just a matter of, like, one day they woke up doing that. It probably took, you know, a lot of pain and suffering in their profession to leave. And it's really unfortunate. I've experienced this problem in almost every facility that I've worked at. Less now because I'm more experienced and people usually don't give me as much guff. But I have to say that as a travel nurse, you're kind of in the same realm as a new nurse because nobody knows who you are. Nobody knows how you work. They still don't really trust you.
Mm-hmm.
So you get that same type of attitude, that passive aggressiveness from people because they don't know who you are. They don't know how you work. So they treat you essentially like the young or a newer nurse. And I've really learned to adapt to that and not allow people's stupidity and their passive aggressive or even obvious aggressiveness affect me. When I was a new nurse, it bothered the shit out of me, honestly. Like, literally, the first 2 years of my nursing career were extremely stressful because in nursing homes, there isn't a lot of change in the culture. So these people get really set in their ways. And when you come in there and you start, you know, throwing a little bit of mix or change into their routine, the way they do things, the general environment, you get a lot of hostility and aggressiveness.
It gets territorial.
For sure. And I can think of specifically a nurse in the second nursing home that I worked in, and she was horrible. She was so aggressive, and it wasn't just me, but she was so aggressive directly to me and passive aggressive. She wouldn't even look at me during report. I mean, it was pure disrespect, and even though I had a little bit of experience under my belt, she treated me like I was nothing, like I was a piece of dirt. And that's a small portion of why my first part of nursing, my career, was so challenging. And I had many conversations with Sarah about this. Like, I would be so pissed off for hours because I felt violated, essentially, by these people because of the way they treated me.
And, you know, I know that you're not alone in that experience. You know, I do have some action steps that we can take, and they're hard, but everything we do starting out is hard. You're still building your confidence, and so someone who's got 20 years of experience commenting on that one dressing change that you missed, you go home and you beat yourself up about it for 2 days.
Yes. Oh, yes. That is so true.
So here's the thing. Here's the thing. We are all learning. We're all growing. We're all being handed experiences that we've never dealt with before. You may be a 20-year veteran nurse, but that doesn't mean that you've seen every possible thing.
Mm-hmm.
There's going to come a moment when, you know, you're not quite so sure either.
If you're a victim of this, if you've been wronged by your coworkers, you know, they're not giving you the attention that you need, or they're being really, you know, verbally aggressive or passive aggressive, know that that doesn't define who you are as a nurse. And I think that's a struggle that I had as a new nurse. I felt like their actions were a reflection of how my nursing care was. And that is totally not true. I was providing as good a care as I thought best at the time. And it's not my fault, nor is it your fault, that they are acting shitty towards you. I don't know why this exists. I think there's a number of reasons why eating their young in nursing exists. It's not just in nursing. It's in a lot of professions. If you look at the way residents are treated from attending doctors or other professions, it definitely exists.
Or nurses
exists.
Even.
Yes, yes. Oh, yeah, nurses will treat residents like shit sometimes.
To kind of cross-reference this, to interrupt you for a second, I want folks, if you don't know who Sean Dent is, he also is not affiliated with our channel in any way, but he's a nurse practitioner in Pennsylvania. He does a ton of videos. He just did a video about how, we talk about not eating our nursing young. How about you give that resident a fucking chance, too, okay? Because there was a time when you didn't know what the right prescription for this patient was going to be.
Yep.
So, but that too, that's a separate issue. But it's cross-departmental and multidisciplinary, okay? We eat our young nursing assistants. We eat our young respiratory therapists, physical therapists. So even though we're talking about nurses very specifically, I think this can apply to pretty much any other discipline that we're talking about in healthcare. I have kind of like a top three, I guess you could say, of things. Let's first talk about why nurses do it, okay? Why, whether intentionally or unintentionally. And the number one reason that I can think of is when you are an experienced nurse and you've got four patients or more, depending on where you work, and they're keeping you busy, having one or two or even three new nurses coming to you from all directions asking you for help slows you down, takes away your focus, makes you work harder. And so on one hand, I get why it's frustrating, but the right answer is never to snap, neglect. I mean, these are part of the challenges. When you're a more tenured nurse on a unit, you do have a responsibility to those new nurses and your patients. And I think that, you know, once we've been doing this for a while, we forget what those first days were like. We remember in theory that we were scared and anxious, but we really forget what that panic feels like when you have a post-surgical patient and they're starting to crump and you don't know what you should do. Should you call the rapid? You know, there are those moments where you're really genuinely fucking scared. But as an existing nurse, that can be a real drain on a shift. And if, you know, you're working multiple shifts in a row with a lot of new nurses, which is common sometimes, and I'm not saying that it's a rationalization for eating your young, but it's how people get there. It's how people get to a point where they're doing that.
Oh, yeah, I completely agree with what you're saying. In fact, I was writing some notes down as you were talking because, you know, I love this because it's like, as we talk, I get more and more ideas. And as a seasoned nurse, you know, when we talk about why this exists, eating their young, as a seasoned nurse, we have our routines. We get attached to the way things are in our, we get report, we pass meds, we do our assessments, we reassess, we do meds, we pass assess, we do our assessments. When students or someone gets in the way of our flow, we can get grumpy. And I am definitely guilty of this, even though I know what it was like when you talk about panic. As a new nurse, and I had no experience clinically except clinicals and nursing school, when a new nurse interrupts your flow, it's really stressful because you realize that you've got this, and this to do, and a new nurse is asking you all these questions or screwing up your flow, and they're not doing things necessarily the way you would do things.
Yeah, and then you're like, oh, wait, where was I? What was I just doing?
Yes, yes. And then aside from that, as far as like being super attached to our routines, I think another reason is, and this is another issue, and we talk about like nursing bitterness and nursing burnout. I think there's plenty of nurses out there, and I've definitely been through this, where I'm over taking care of patients. I just can't take it anymore, but I still have to work because I need a job. I need to make money to pay my bills. I have no choice. I think that people eat their young because they themselves are feeling like crap. They're over taking care of people, and they're over taking care of new nurses.
It's not the entire reason for the problem, but basically what we're saying is that the reason nurses snap at the young is because we are overburdened, overworked, you know, trying to put ourselves in too many different directions to help, and then we hit the end of our rope, and then we snap. But I think that as a new nurse, as someone experiencing this, even if, you know, it's just in that moment and it's just, I was just aggravated and you just caught me at a bad time, as a new nurse, you kind of feel like, oh, well, now that's kind of my dynamic with this nurse. Like, is this relationship ruined? Can I talk to them? Should I, you know? So from the perspective of the nurse that is burned out or needs a minute, you know, you need to practice art. It's an art of saying to people, I can help you, but I have to do this right now because it's really important. Can we reconvene? Can this wait 5 minutes, or can this wait 10 minutes, or is this, can you do this part and then I'll catch up to you? Like, we can try to make, and these negotiations still take time, but I think that we need to remember that it's not, here's the thing. Say your new nurse comes to you and they're like, I need help paying this med. And you're like, fuck, I don't have time for this. Like, you should know how to do this by now.
Yeah,
but
right.
You have two choices when you're an experienced nurse. You can either push that nurse off and say, I'm busy, I don't have time to help you. Or you can take 2 minutes, you know, to give them like a basic rundown. Here, do this, or ask this person, or look in this book, or give them something to start out with, until you can help them a little better. Because guess what the alternative is? The alternative may be that they spike that med wrong and they don't get the filtered tubing, and suddenly you're responsible for helping this person through a really serious mess up that's potentially going to harm the patient. And then what's going to happen? Then you've got even more shit to do that you weren't counting on doing to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
So I believe that, you know, every time we help our new grads, we're actually helping, not just helping them become better nurses, but we're helping keep the whole team out of the soup.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, just take a minute and just, you know, say to your new nurse, like, I'm really busy right now. I'm sorry. I'm frustrated. You know, not all, everybody has the ability to say that, and some people don't think they should have to, but really that's how you build teamwork. Because then that new grad is going to be like, okay, you know what, she's busy, it's cool, it's not about me personally, I'll do as much as I can on my own, or I'll ask somebody else, or whatever. If it's somebody that's like really, really not helping you, and even more so if like either aggressive or whatever, you need to find out what your hospital's resources are, because we have anonymous lines at some institutions where if something, anything from a nurse like stealing narcs to somebody just straight up being a bully or a harasser or whatever, a lot of bigger institutions will have a helpline that you can call that's anonymous. Or you can go to an employee assistance program. Go to your manager. Go to a more experienced nurse that you know mm-hmm. is nice and mm-hmm. say, like, is this me? Should I be, you know, and I don't think you should always think it's you, but I think that it's always our responsibility to figure out what our role is and how we can fix that. So yep. that's kind of my first thing. If you just communicate a little bit, set a time, then you won't have, like, these moments of, like, I'm busy, leave me alone.
As yes.
from the new grad's perspective, I want to say use this opportunity to show your strengths, okay? Use this opportunity of this person treating you like crud to show that you're stronger than this. And while you may want to go in the room closet and cry, you're not going to. So just, you know, toughen up. Build your mm-hmm. skin a little bit. Know that mm-hmm. it might not be about you. And figure it out. Figure out your resource. Ask somebody else. Look in a policy book. Do something to make
yes.
it, you know, make it okay. Your growth is the best weapon against people who want to see you fail. So if it's somebody who really is just being shitty to you, then just know that you're going to find a way to learn to do this. And you're going to become an expert at some things, maybe some things that they're going to need your help with in the future. So, you know, mm-hmm. what do they say? The best revenge is living well. So I say in this case, while I'm not, you know, promoting revenge, the best way to, you know, show people that bullying is not going to work on you is to try to shine through, you know?
Mm-hmm. You know, I just wanted to add to what you had to say. I think what you mentioned is really powerful, which is using your facility resources. But also, I'd like to say that if you feel like a person is being, you know, unprofessional to you, I'd like to say that we work in an arena that we could go up to a person and safely discuss that situation with them. I think that's a really good option if you feel like it will be safe for you, like as in you're not going to get your ass chewed or they're not going to treat you shitty afterwards or if
right.
you feel comfortable doing that. Because I've done that. I gave you my example with the nurse in the nursing home. I got to a point where I was just over her treating me like shit. And I can't, like it eats. I'm better now because I'm used to this type of environment. But at the time, it eats away at my soul. It, like, rots at me. Like, I cannot deal with passive-aggressive conflict without discussing it. And so I went up to this nurse, and I essentially said, hey, listen, I feel like something's off here. Is there something that I did wrong? You know, I want our relationship, our professional relationship to be okay. You know, what can I do? And she, I can't remember exactly what she said, other than I remember she said, you know, we're good. You know, I've just been stressed. And, you know, Adrian, you mentioned that something about it's not necessarily you as a person.
Mm-hmm.
It's not your fault. And I think that's true with a lot of situations like this. It's not you. It's not your fault that you are having this problem. It's the other people's. You know, most of the time, new nurses are the victim of a bitter nurse, of a nurse that doesn't like to help people, et cetera, et cetera. And so that's what I would say. I'd like to say that, you know, we if you feel comfortable with approaching that person, I think you'll find that, you know, they may respect you professionally by you discussing this with a frank conversation.
Mm-hmm.
If it doesn't work out or you get resistance to that, which is totally possible, some people are not mature or professional enough to have a nice, good conversation with you about this problem. And if you get resistance, then I just leave it alone and use my other resources, whether that's an
mm-hmm.
HR department, a union. Honestly, if I was in this shoes now, my first thing would probably discuss it with a coworker, like you said, if they didn't really have anything to say or they don't really know anything about the situation. Because honestly, I don't really like to talk about work politics at work with my coworkers, because that tends to add to the drama of the unit. It's just not healthy for
and
me.
It encourages gossip, because you're talking about one person, and then a second person happens to come into the room, and then it becomes a group discussion, and then that becomes not okay. The one thing, I don't disagree with you, but I'm not 100% on board with that, because I am all for going right to the source, having frank discussions, promoting good communication among team members. However, I think there's a time and a place, and you need to be able to judge whether or not it's a good time and a place, because there was a nurse that I worked with a long time ago that had some conflict, just, you know, kind of like this passive-aggressive, not really specific BS with a coworker. And that coworker came up to address it with her in the middle of that nurse, like, needing to attend to a patient who wasn't doing very well. And that other staff person cried and felt bad, and it became kind of an issue. And she wasn't wrong for trying to express herself. She just didn't know what was happening in that nurse's timeline right then, and so it became a problem, and then it became a bigger sore spot because she looked like she was overreacting at an inappropriate time, and then the nurse looked like she was unwilling to resolve it. When she was willing to resolve it, she just didn't have time, any time in that moment to attend to it. So I say yes, absolutely go to the source. I do think it breeds respect and professionalism. I don't think you should run to management for every little thing.
Yeah,
but
exactly.
Know your audience. Know the time and the place so that you know that you're not just going to pour gasoline on the fire because you picked the busiest point of that nurse's shift, or she had just gotten yelled at by a doctor, or whatever the hell she's experiencing that has nothing to do with you in that moment. So those are my kind of caveats to that.
Right. I was just going to say, time and place is so crucial when it comes to a conversation like that. Privacy is really key. And for instance, in my situation, when I approached this nurse, it was in the med room. Go figure. You know, as we know about the med room, it's got the privacy, it's got the locked door. And I picked my moment very carefully. I think it was at the end of my shift, at the beginning of her shift. I was a little tired, so I was maybe a little more open to talking about it. I maybe wasn't quite as anxious. I'm not really sure exact timing. But I just knew that it wasn't in the middle of the floor. Like, hey, you know, Jenny, you have been a huge bitch to me for the past 3 months. What the fuck is your problem? You've been ascending. You know, it wasn't anything like that. And I'm not sure about this lady situation that you're describing. But the point is, you know, med rooms is a good option. But I agree with you, Adrian. I think running to management with all of our little pesky problems they're not going to do a damn thing. They don't do a damn thing, usually, unless it is like a bullying situation, like a lateral violence type of situation.
Right.
Their management is really not going to change anything.
And I guess when I say use your resources, I don't necessarily mean, like, call and tell on them. Although I did earlier say, like, we have anonymous help. That's more for, like, the serious, like, this nurse is really treating me like shit all the time, kind of. Like, you've kind of reached your own point. But I think that, for example, you know, at my institution, we have an employee assistance program that allows you to, for example, I have no problem sharing this because I believe as healthcare providers, we need mental health care as well. But they offer counseling. So I'm able to go and get like two or three counseling. I think of it as debriefing. I don't think of it as counseling like I'm going in and being like, my boyfriend's mad at me and I
All right.
So like, you know, I need to be able to talk about things with other healthcare providers that are also bound by HIPAA, even though I don't talk about my patients in specifics. But I'll be like, oh, I had this horrible death the other day that I had to deal with and this is how I feel. So I think using programs like that, not necessarily to like mediate or fix the problem for you, but so that you can get some perspective, you can get some support, you can have someone to say to you, Oh, even like, so say you do go to your charge nurse or your supervisor and you say, hey, I don't want to make a big deal out of this, but I feel like this person has been being a little mean to me. You know them better. Is there something that I could do, you know, that would help smooth this relationship? And that nurse may, or that whoever that is you're talking to may say, oh, she's just like that. Don't worry about it. And then you can move forward knowing that, well, unfortunately, this is something that is a personality trait, and you're probably not going to change it. However, you know, that person might also say to you, well, hey, you know, this person really hates doing dressing changes. So maybe one day you can say to that nurse, you know, hey, you seem like you're having a really busy day. Do you want me to do that dressing change for you? I'm not saying you need to bribe them or, like, offer to do shit for them, but sometimes a nice gesture or, like, doing something in goodwill that you know is going to help that person out can make them say, maybe I shouldn't treat this person like crap. Maybe this person is an ally and an asset.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you're always going to have those people that it doesn't matter what you do or what strategy you take or how long you work there, they're
yes.
always going to be who they're going to be. And in
yes.
those cases, like I said, the best thing you can do is be an example for others and be a good nurse. And
mm-hmm.
those people are going to teach you as well. They're going to teach you what not to do, what not to be. So
mm-hmm.
if you see that that person is really short with new nurses and you don't like that, you don't like how that feels, make sure that as you move forward in your practice, you don't do that either. Be a good example. And, you know, in my first year of nursing, I think I had been there for 2 or 3 weeks on the floor before we had another group of new nurses come out. So within a matter of my first month on the floor, I already had more experience than somebody else, which was mind-boggling to me because I thought, I've got people coming to me for questions. You know what? Every time I was able to answer their question or every time they were like, oh, my God, I'm so scared, you can say, yeah, I did that last month, and I was scared, too, and it's going to be okay. So
yep.
You don't like nurses eating their young? Don't be an eater. And if you see someone else, like, say you've been working on a unit for 3 years and you know your BFF at work is shitty to new nurses, be like, hey, I have the authority to tell this person to stop it without them bringing wrath upon me. So I'm going to be like, hey, dude, you know, you can be a little nicer. Like, come on, don't, you know.
Yep.
So just be that good influence as you move forward because you never know. You might be on that unit or in that clinic or that nursing home for a week before
yep.
you suddenly are no longer the new person. So.
Yeah. You know, regarding the, you know, how to deal with the situation, I want to reiterate that it doesn't reflect upon you as a new nurse, as a young nurse. You know, you don't necessarily know how to do things, and that's not your fault. You're still learning. And as a new nurse, I had a really hard time with people treating me like crap because I felt like that I was a crappy nurse. Like, they were treating me crappy because I wasn't doing a good job. And I don't think that's the case at all. And I don't want you to think that you're a bad nurse just because you may have a shitty coworker or two. It takes some time to develop some thicker skin to that. And, you know, the healthcare environment was very new to me. I was not used to that dynamic because I was never a CNA. My only experience was in a volunteer position at a local ER, and I just stocked rooms. So I had no patient care experience. I didn't know how to deal with all these personalities and the way people treat each other. You know, I did construction, and in construction, if someone was being a fucking douchebag, you would tell them you'd be a fucking douchebag. And if you had to take it to the next level, you took it to the next level. And fortunately, that wasn't my style, but I saw a lot of guys around me, like, get in fights and all that crap. You know, don't tell, you know, tell anybody, but I'm just a big teddy bear. So
It is.
But, you know, in the healthcare environment, it's a totally different ballgame. You got these politics and personalities, and needless to say, when you're around that, just know that you are going to be a good nurse regardless of how shitty people treat you. And it takes a little bit of time to get used to people that are not necessarily very nice. So I would say just hang in there. It takes some time. use your resources, like Adrian says, if it goes to that next level, maybe approach that person. If you feel like it's a good situation or appropriate, but it does get better. And I think that I can say that from my personal experience, because it definitely does get better. You learn to adapt. You know,
When people used to say that to me in my first few months of nursing, I heard it so often that I was like, I'm going to punch the next person who says that in the teeth.
Right.
Because I felt so frustrated. And then as time went on, I went, son of a bitch, they were right.
They are right.
And it's frustrating because the stress is so demanding of your body and your mind and your energy that there are times when you're like, this is when does it finally get better?
You know, what is it about that magical year, Adrian? I have no idea. I don't even know if it's
a
year.
But honestly, okay, so, you know, as I've said in other episodes, and, you know, for people who know me, I was a nursing assistant for 11 years, okay? So I worked all over the hospital. I worked neuro, oncology, cardiac. Like, I went to ICU. I've seen a lot of stuff, and it happens in all the disciplines. And, you know, we're all new. We're all scared. And honestly, it took me like 8 months before I really felt like I knew what I was doing. And then, you know, here's another episode as well. The transition from respected, well-educated, experienced, go-getter CNA to suddenly being the person who does not know what the hell she's doing. I had moments where instead of wanting to be like, Mommy, I wanted to be like, CNA. I just want to not have to deal with these IV pumps right now.
Right?
I want to just call the nurse. But,
I think
that, you know, that first year, the first few months are that of panic and, oh, shit, and I need reassurance for every little thing I do. And then I feel like the second quarter of that year is you being like, oh, my gosh, look what I did without any help. Oh, my gosh, look, I did this too. And the third quarter is being like, ugh. You know, like you're burned out, you're learning, you're overloaded, and then, you know, in the fourth quarter, I think you finally start to get some stride. Hopefully you start to learn how to take care of yourself when you're taking care of other people. That's another topic. God, I feel like every 5 seconds I'm like, topic.
Yeah, I hope you're writing this stuff down.
Yeah, well, and these are things that I rant about all the time, so this is kind of like my running list of stuff that people have to listen to me soapbox about. but it's true. It's like, you know, you're only new for so long, and there's only so many times. It's like with PCAs, you know, our patient-controlled pain buttons. The first couple times I loaded that, I sweated through my clothes. I was so nervous because I was like, I'm holding enough morphine to kill many people, and I'm legally responsible for this, and how do I set this stupid freaking pump? But then by like the sixth or seventh time I did it, I was like, this is kind of fun. Like, I have these steps. I feel really well versed in this. It's satisfying to get this task done without having to ask for help. So, you know, you're only new at something for so long. So it's just in nursing, there are a million of those things. So,
Yeah, I completely agree. I remember, it's funny, you know, we worked on the same unit, Adrian, and on the palliative care side of things, a little bit of a tangent here. You know, you do work with a huge amount of narcotics, and you really think that you're going to kill someone here.
Lessa, as we're rolling up on an hour here, I want to kind of end this with some joviality, and you just triggered on something that I think that I don't find this jovial, but I think this is an interesting little tidbit. So,
right.
Speaking of patients on lots of narcotics, there was a patient that I had. He was built like a brick shit house. Like, he was a solid dude. Poor guy was, you know, I can't remember what his diagnosis was, but he was in end of life. And he, in his PCA, when I closed out when I cleared my pump at the end of the night, that man, and I am not there's no hyperbole or exaggeration here, folks, That man in my 8-hour shift had gotten 85 milligrams of morphine. And
yep.
not only was he still breathing. For those of you that don't know, like, if I took a milligram of morphine, I would sleep for probably 2 days.
right?
Just to give you some perspective here. So this guy had 85 milligrams in 1 day. And to maintain his pain control and...
Yeah.
And then when I came back 2 days later, not only was he still alive, but they had upped his rate even more. So,
yes.
let's just say that some people can tolerate things that would, no way. I'd be dead.
Literally, it would kill a small bowl, you know, some of the amount of narcotics. I mean, that's a whole other topic. And in fact, I think it'd be a great discussion to discuss end of life and narcotics because there is a lot of misconceptions that when nurses come out of nursing school, you know, you're taught about respiratory depression and narcotics and counting respiratory rate and all that jazz. It's a whole nother beast entirely when you talk about palliative care, end of life, and the use of narcotics and how it's not just about pain control. It's just, you know, it's about respiratory rate reduction.
Right.
And all that jazz. We don't have to go into that, but...
No, but it's true. But I just thought, you know, you had mentioned that, like, you're responsible for all this stuff. It's a big deal. You want to know that the people around you are going to help you and not throw you under the bus. You know, like...
Yes.
These are big deals here. These are, like, you know, life and death. And, you know, determine whether or not you get to continue to be a nurse and... not be in jail and all of these things. So, yeah.
Yep.
But anyway, that was kind of, you know, I didn't mean to turn that into a serious talk about the effects of narcotics, but more so to highlight that, once in 8 hours I gave a man 85 milligrams of morphine and he was breathing just fine when I left.
I mean, we don't necessarily recommend that on a regular basis.
No,
not at all.
But
you know,
he was
I think
a large man in a lot of pain.
Right. Yeah. You know, and I think the last thing I'll say regarding nurses eating their young, or two couple things, is first of all, it's not a widespread problem. I would say, in my experience, it is an individual person problem. I would say each unit probably has one or two people that are the problem child, that they're just bitter, they're not meant to be in nursing, and at least anymore. They're over it. They're burnt. They've had a career in nursing, or not necessarily a career, but maybe they just weren't meant to do nursing. And then the other thing I would say is ultimately healthcare is a team effort. And we need to pull together and support one another no matter what role a person is in. Every single job in the hospital is vital. And I was just thinking about that the other day. Just imagine for a moment if the janitor didn't clean rooms, or if CNAs didn't exist, or if nurses didn't exist, or if doctors didn't exist, and if all of those people didn't come together, you know, patients would be so screwed. And ultimately, people would die because each individual service didn't do their job or their part. So it's a team effort, and we should uplift people and not bring people down, be judgmental, be hateful, and be, you know, verbally abusive, essentially. We should hold each other in love and compassion and, you know, treat each other with respect and dignity like we all deserve.
Yes, we are nurse brothers and sisters. We have decided to get into this crazy profession. It brutalizes us sometimes. I think that, you know, new nurses listening need to take heart and know that there are those of us out there that would love to answer all of your questions, and we don't want to bite, and we don't want to, you know, eat the young. So take heart. And if, you know, there are probably some nurses that are going to listen to this too that are going to be like, well, whatever, screw you. I don't have to listen to you. And that's fine too. But just remember, like, what you put out is what you get back. And, you know, it's while we talk about not gossiping and you know, being upfront and honest, there are nurses that are just notorious for being mean. You know, and so don't be that nurse. Don't be the nurse that all the newbies are afraid of, or, you know, don't want to talk to or whatever because you bite. So, yeah. Be the change you want to
be. Be the change, right, exactly. You know, I think that's a really great moment to wrap up, and I'll just say that I'm really excited to, you know, create this podcast with you, Adrian. I think it's really cool, and I think we'll be able to help out a lot of nurses and patients and people in general about, you know, what nurses are like, both professionally as well as, you know, on a personal basis. And to share some of our challenges that we go through, will hopefully educate the public about how nursing truly is.
Agreed. So, with that said, what should people do? They should subscribe. They should like this. They should share it with their friends. Hell, if you didn't like it, share it with your friends. You guys can talk crap about it as long as
right.
You're talking about it. What do they say? Doesn't matter what they say as long as they spell your name right.
Yes.
Also, guys, stick around because we have a lot more in store. We just, you know, even if you just listen to this whole podcast, there's like probably 15 or 20 topics that we just, you know, put on our little notepad. And also, hint, hint, I can say that there might be some guest hosts coming in somewhere as well. So, yeah, let's just see where this all goes. It's an adventure.
Yes. I appreciate it, Adrian, and I appreciate all the listeners out there, and I hope you guys stick around for more to come.
Yeah, thanks for listening, guys, to MedRoom Chronicles. We will talk to you later. Bye.
Bye-bye.